Today is the 18th of September 2008, and I've just arrived at the front door of Duart House in Havelock North.
Welcome to Duart House. Would you like to have a tour?
I'd love to see you over. Your?
I'm Anne Ford Anderson.
Anne, how do you do? My name is Jim.
How do you do, Jim? And in case you haven't read everything out there, this house was built in probably 1882 by Alan MacLean, who'd come out from Scotland, probably from one of the little islands off the Isle of Mull, and he met and married Hannah Chambers, who was a local girl, and her family had a lot of land, so that's where he got all the land, which originally went right down to Te Ati Road, and you'll see the map upstairs about it. They've had this house built. We're not quite sure who the builders were. They moved in and they had, I think, about five children. We'll have a look around now at this large room.
We're just moving left from the front door into the large living room.
Yes, which once upon a time the end room was separate, but over the years the division has been taken off because we have functions here, weddings, dinners, parties and so on, and once a month there's a ladies' dinner club meets on the first Tuesday in the month, and we have 60 people seated and a speaker and the most delicious dinner. The chandeliers were made within the last 15 years, I think, was a member of the Duart House Committee at the time, and it was a very large double-trunked tree hanging over the lake at the back, and we got the council to chop it down at vast expense, and he took some of that and made these chandeliers for this room and the hall, and it just makes all the difference to the place. I can't think of his name for the minute. Now, the paintings, you see, were done by Thompson Pritchard, who was a Havelock man, born in 1878. He studied painting all around the world and ended up in California. He died in 1962, but in his latter years, he decided he'd like some of his work to come back to Havelock, where he'd come from. So he wrote a series of letters to the council, and eventually 20 paintings came out, and we have, I think, 14. They're very good. They're all insured and alarmed. They all have water in, sea, lakes or rivers. And we're in the throes of getting paintings cleaned. We've had about four cleaned now, which also is quite expensive. Well, he built the house, Alan MacLean, and he was known as Tookie because he was farming on the land, and that came from the Tookie River. When he died and his wife, it became a school for boys and girls for 1915 to 21. And then the Greenwood family rented it and then leased it until the 1970s when Mr. and Mrs. Greenwood had died. And the family eventually sold it very reasonably to the Havelock Council, as it was then. They didn't at first know what to do with the house. They even thought of moving it. But fortunately, a few wise people formed the Duart House Society, and they used to do the garden and the housework and make curtains and all sorts of things and lease it. And we have kept on doing that. And nowadays, the council does all the grounds. We have a resident housekeeper. We made a flat for her upstairs who does the housework and does the bookings.
When the MacLeans first purchased the property, yes, this would have been a fairly open landscape.
Yes,
no trees.
Bare, and he wanted it left bare, like the Isle of Mull is bare, which you'll see pictures of upstairs. He wouldn't allow his family to make a garden, so they had to wait till he died. And he died around about 1902, I think. After drinking too much, he fell into the fire here in this room, got badly burnt, and died as a result of that. There are today relatives living, but they're not interested in Duart House, unfortunately. Same thing happens in Auckland with Alberton. There are Kerr families living who are not interested in Alberton. Goodness knows why. Well, shall we move on? Time to time, our president is very good at getting grants of money from various people, and we have got new carpets downstairs and new tables and chairs in that little room at the end, which are used for functions.
And curtains.
Curtains, yes, in the last couple of years.
The place is very well presented, isn't it?
It is really, yes. Yes, and very well looked after. Now we can move through into the hallway and the dining room. Yeah,
sometimes known as the panel room, I think.
Yes, yes. These walls had been very over-varnished, and a few years ago we got an antique restorer to come who sanded it down over quite a long period and put various antique oils on, and it used to have a beautiful smell for some years, but I think that has gone. As you can see, there are more Thompson Pritchard paintings in here. When we have our dinner club, we come in here first and we have wine and talk to our friends. And when we go into dinner, the committee has seated us each month in different places. They have a system of moving it around so it doesn't get cliquey. You're always meeting new people, which is nice. And all the furniture in this house, it's not the original furniture, it's lent by the Napier Museum. And the pianos, this one belongs to Duett House, but the one in the little front room belonged to music teachers, because one of the things that happens here is music exams in the big room, and nobody else but the music teachers can use this piano.
We're going up the hall and turning left into the music room.
This little room, which is sometimes used for small committee meetings and other small meetings. I don't quite know what. There aren't any Thompson Pritchard paintings in here, but some are by a local artist, Rush, I think. I'm not quite sure which ones.
I noticed there are sprinklers in every room, so the house is well protected for fire.
That's right, yes. It is. And of course it's been through the 1931 earthquake without any damage. Now we're going upstairs. New carpet continues upstairs.
And these would have been the bedrooms for the family in the past.
That's right.
We're in the hallway upstairs.
Yes, and on the left it would have been two bedrooms, but those are the living room and the bedroom for our caretaker. On the right would have been the main bedrooms, which we had made into a Victorian sitting room with more Thompson Pritchard paintings and various things lent. And this cabinet full of things from India was lent and now donated to us by Mrs. Lusk, who came out from Canada. But before she came from Canada, she had worked in India with a missionary and his wife. The photo is in there, and somehow she acquired all those things. And she's left them here, which are interesting to look at. The machine up top is one of several machines in the collection.
Sewing machine.
And I looked up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and sewing machines first appeared at the Paris Exhibition of 1860. Of course, have been considerably refined since.
This is quite a Victorian room, isn't it? With the rifle over the doorway and the paintings.
Chaise long, and I think that may be the lady gliding down from Camelot in that picture, I have been told.
A spinning wheel.
And some old bellows. And that piano that's almost a spinet. What's its make?
It's a Broadwood.
Yes, so it is. Yes, and an old organ that somebody has either donated or left, and an ancient writing desk. A few old things in.
There are quite wonderful bits of joinery, weren't they, with the drawers down the side and the ink stands and...
Yes, these old bellows. A lot of children don't know what bellows are, of course, now. And here's a New Zealand chronicle from catastrophic volcanic eruption in Rotorua area, Mount Tarawera, June 1886.
Okay, so that's of the same era as when this was first built.
Yes, that's right. And what's this book? The Haunted Man. Ghost Bargain, Pears Annual. And across all these children's clothes, people used to make clothes like that by hand, even when I was young. And they were lent to us, but I don't know if the owner is still alive. Midge Tucker, a Montgomery family heirlooms. Behind you here, you'll see pictures of Duett Castle in Scotland. Very bare around it. I suppose it would be the odd bit of heather. And one side goes straight down into the loch. Now the James Bond film Entrapment, which you can get on a video, he had made his burglary headquarters at Duett Castle, so I went to it just to see what it looked like. And it's not very large really, not much larger than this house, I would say. That is the crest of St George's School underneath.
That was the school that was here?
Yes, from 1915 to 1921. And there's some photos of pupils there. And some pictures of the old gardens around, because the gardens have changed a bit over the years. Someone who has been to Duett Castle left us this little book about it.
So Duett was the home of the...
of the Maclean, and it's the headquarters of the Maclean clan now, and that is the current laird, Macklin Maclean. And it was his grandfather who restored the castle, because at the beginning of the 20th century it was a ruin as a result of battles. And he made it his life's work to restore it, and it's now lived in. and people can go around. This is the man who restored it, Sir Fitzroy Maclean, 10th Baronet.
So this is on the Isle of Mull.
That's right, yes. And there is a map somewhere here. If they saw ships coming up there, they would light a bonfire so the nearest castle would see, and they'd light a bonfire, and they'd all light bonfires so they'd be warned that possibly enemies were coming, or visitors, they wouldn't know. And there's a lady in Havelock, Mrs. Brown, whose daughter is married to a man who lives on the Isle of Mull, and they know the Macleans and go there, and she has donated us these photographs. That's the current Lady Maclean, and I think that's Women's Rural Institute going to the castle. And that's Princess Anne and Lady Maclean walking along, and that is the grave of Lord Maclean, flowers on his grave on the island. And she also gave us this drawing of the castle. And I suppose it's understandable that he wanted this place not to have a garden, to look a bit like that. And that up there's the map of all the land he used to have. Now there are only 3 acres remaining, because after he died, land was sold off.
That's the Duat estate of November 1898.
Yes, yes. This would be just before he died, I think. On the left in here is the bedroom. I used to wonder, curtains around four-poster beds were for warmth before the days of central heating, but someone suggested to me that they were to prevent vermin falling on people in bed, having a roof over them anyway. And as you'll see, it's a bit smaller than modern beds because people did not grow so tall in those days. Once they came out to this side of the world with the sunshine and grew their own food and so on, the descendants grew much taller. Over here we have a copy of a woodcut by Rosa Bonheur, who was a French female artist in Paris in the 1860s. She did a lot of drawings of horses, horse fairs and such like. And down below is a selection of the sort of things that would be on Victorian dressing tables, including a razor strop.
Manicure sets.
That's right, yes. That's the razor strop, and that's to keep your veils in, as they were in those days. And then we've got a bedside candle and Martin Chuzzlewit. Oh, that's by Dickens.
And a bell.
Yes, to summon the servants. This is quaint. Somebody has left us. It's a doll's clothes box. It's her grandmother's doll's clothes box, Aunt May, one of the Greenwoods. Fancy that. We used to have a drawer full of Victorian underwear, which was, of course, all made by hand and quite interesting, but I think that belongs to Carrie Greenwood and is not here at the minute. We've got a bowler hat up here, which you don't often see.
Would this be a Scotch chest?
Quite possibly.
The drawers all the way to the top?
Yes, but you see those in antique places generally, and in England too. And as I say, all the furniture comes from the museum in Napier, so I couldn't answer that one. Well, here's a nightie made by hand. Useful.
A lot of stitchwork in them, wasn't
there? Isn't there, yes. But of course they had no telephones or cars. They didn't rush around like we do. And people used to write letters every day, you see, as a way of communicating. My late mother-in-law, every morning after breakfast, she sat down and she answered her letters. And, you know, she could write a most interesting letter when she hadn't been out of the house for 3 weeks about all sorts of little things that she'd seen through the window. Now, next door on the left, the nursery, and a beautiful ball dress from the museum on the left too, and an old-fashioned cot. I think it could have been quite dangerous. The child might have got its head stuck through some of the
frames in it.
And there's some old books behind here. Now, my old half-brothers used to have those Chums annuals and things like that. Had quite good adventure stories in.
Chums and BOPs, Boys' Own Papers.
That's right.
And the old paint box.
I had a paint box like that once, did you?
Yes, I did. And of course a wonderful high chair here that would collapse into a rocker.
Yes. Now we'll go down to the last one on the left, which is a collection of genetic material. Ex-member of our Stuart House committee, his hobby was genetic work, and he asked if he could store his things here. So this is all the
genealogies
of the families.
I'm looking at one here, the genealogy of families James Franklin and Elizabeth Mary, Phoebe and Alphonsus Richard, Maria and William Edmund.
And this is Knapp and Simpson. He's Mr. Simpson, I think. And I think his wife might have been Knapp, and there's all this beautiful China from
Nep
there.
Nep Simmons Trust.
Simmons,
on
Mr.
loan
Simmons,
to the Society.
Yes, well, he's now in Somerset Hospital, but he's still... And all these old photos are for local farms and such like, not all named, unfortunately. This behind us I always think is particularly interesting. Dr. Reeve, who died recently, just under 100, his father was also a doctor in the Gisborne area, and he had this portable operating table made to take round in his buggy so he wouldn't have to strain his back working on low beds. These are photos of early settlers, two Nairns. I used to wonder why old photographs were always so serious, and someone explained the cameras of the old days, you had to keep absolutely still for several minutes for the photograph to be taken. And also an artist said to me that you get more idea of character from a serious face than from a laughing one. And that's an interesting point, because nowadays all salespeople have to have smiling photos taken, don't they?
Yes.
Here we've got, there's a bit supposed to be out of an American spacecraft. Various bits and pieces that various people have left us. There is another section downstairs out at the back, which isn't strictly speaking dirt, though it's here, and it's all the sort of things that used to be used in washhouses and houses generally, and farm machinery and so on from the early 1920s.
And that's the Dorwood downstairs out
yes,
the back of the
yes,
house.
Yes, Bill Dorwood, who's no longer on the planet, he left that. Oh, then there's the tower. A lot of Victorian houses had a tower to get a slightly better view, and if you climb up there, there's really a lovely view out to Napier and the mountains. And someone once said to me, oh, it's like Switzerland, isn't it? But that's really the main part of Guert.
It would have been a magnificent view when it was first built.
Yes, it would.
And now with the trees, it's sort of lost some of the...
Mm, but you can still see the mountains.
You can.
Napier. The council looks after the house very well and does any repairs that are needed.
So it's owned by the council, but it's tenanted by the Duart Society.
Yes, and we make a certain amount of money, but not a fortune, and... Succeeding mayors are quite happy for us to go along like that rather than turn it into a bed and breakfast or a business place or anything, because it has great value to keep it as it is. It is the only historic house that is open locally. And the garden is always open to be roamed around, and there's a lake at the back too, where sometimes there are swans on the lake.
And I noticed the house is open on a Sunday morning, the first Sunday of the month.
That's right, yes, and if you have visitors staying, it's quite a good thing to bring them here.
And thank you for your time this afternoon.
Been a pleasure.
I really enjoyed looking around with you.
Thank you very much.